Join me in a word of prayer. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds together be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I, for years, was a great fan. Well, I still am a fan, I guess, because I watch the reruns of the TV series Seinfeld. I wonder how many of you all would be willing to admit you were Seinfeld watchers. How many of you? Okay. All right. Okay. It had some funny episodes in the show, in the final episode of the show, the last one, let me just tell you what happens in that last show. In the show, Jerry Seinfeld plays a comedian. And in that last season, he has received a contract from NBC to go and do a sitcom that's going to be on television. And so the network is flying him and Elaine and George and Kramer, flying them to Paris, France as a gift before the sitcom starts filming. And so they get on this private plane, and they're headed off to Paris and leaving from New York. And the plane has some mechanical problems and has to land in this little town of Lakeland, Massachusetts. And they're waiting for a part to repair the plane. And while they're waiting, they're just kind of killing time, and they're wandering around this quaint New England town. And suddenly, right before their eyes, a carjacking happens. And being the kind of people they are, they make fun of the guy that's being robbed. And Kramer has this camcorder, and he records the whole incident kind of just for fun. I mean, they never yell at the guy. They're like from me to Betty, and they never say a word to him. They don't holler and say, "Hey, stop that," or "Somebody get the police," or "Somebody do something." They just stand there and watch. And then the robber speeds off in the car that he's stolen just before the police arrive on the scene. And when the incident and the excitement are all over with, Jerry says, "Hey, let's go get something to eat." And they start to walk off, and a police officer comes up to them, and there's this exchange that goes something like this. The police officer says, "All right, hold it right there." And Jerry says, "Why?" And the officer says, "You're all under arrest." And Jerry says, "Under arrest for what?" And the policeman says, "Article 227-3 of the Lakeland County Code." And Elaine says, "What do you mean? We didn't do anything." And the policeman says, "That's exactly right. The law requires you to help or assist anyone in danger as long as it's reasonable to do so." And George chimes in, and George says, "Well, I never heard of that." And the officer says, "It's a new law. It's called the Good Samaritan Law." And then he puts handcuffs on them all, and they all head into jail. And I think about that episode, and I remember watching it, and I thought, you know what? I wonder if the writers of that episode thought about the Gospel of Luke when they wrote that story. It's kind of a subtle and comical way. George Costanza says, "Well, I never heard of that one before. Never heard of that law before." But friends, the truth is, it's really as old as the tablets that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. There's nothing new about it. The story of the Good Samaritan is really a parable about the Mosaic Law and how it is to be understood and how it is to be lived. In the Gospel of Luke that Sophie read from, this lawyer, this legal expert, stands up to talk to Jesus, and he says he's going to test Jesus' understanding of the law. And he looks at Jesus and he says, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" Now, here's what I want you to know, that it's not that this legal expert has had this great awakening in his life. It's not that he's been walking along with Jesus and heard the things that Jesus has said, and he says, "Wow, this stuff is really great. I want to follow this Jesus guy." That's not what's going on here. If you read the scripture carefully, you'll see that that's evident. Because first of all, it says he wants to test Jesus. And second, this is a pretty common practice in Jesus' day among teaching circles. It's really an intellectual exercise. It's this dialogue to test the rabbi's knowledge. The lawyer knows the question. The lawyer knows the answer to the question before he ever asks it. And I don't know why. He might as well have just been direct with Jesus instead of kind of beating around the bush. Well, really, in essence, what the lawyer wants to know is he wants to know from Jesus, how does Jesus interpret the law of Moses? But Jesus really turns the questions on the lawyer and says to the lawyer, well, what is written there in the law? How do you interpret it? And again, I don't want you to think that this legal expert has had this great moment of insight here, because the truth is, almost every Jew could summarize the law exactly like that lawyer had done. If you were walking around the streets in Jesus' day of Israel and you came across any good Jew and said to them, "How do you interpret the law?" they would have said, "Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor." Anybody would have known that. In fact, the pious and religious men of the day, they wore these, they were leather boxes, these small leather boxes. They were called phylacteries. And they would wear one on their forehead and one on their arm facing their heart. And they contained those scriptures from the Torah. The first one was Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart." And then the other would have said Leviticus 19, 18. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Everybody knew the law. Love God, love your neighbor. I want to tell you three observations that I see in this scripture this morning and what we learn from it. The first is that we know God's law. I mean, we don't need to test Jesus or anything. We know the law. Love God, love your neighbor. There's nothing new about the law. We can't be like George Costanza and claim, "Well, I never heard of that one before." It's as old as the stars and as familiar to us as our own need to be loved. We know the law. We cannot deny its existence. But for some reason, this legal expert wanted to argue with Jesus. Y'all ever meet anybody like that that wants to argue sometimes? And he knows the law. He knows what he has to do to inherit eternal life. So why do you want to get into an argument about it? Well, here's what I think. The second thing about this scripture is that knowing the law doesn't always mean we'll act upon it. knowing the truth doesn't mean we'll always act on it. And that's why the lawyer in verse 29, he says, well, who is my neighbor? He knew the law, but he wanted to debate it, to justify his lifestyle. He didn't want to be confronted with the task of keeping the law. You know, it's easy to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. It's not so easy to love your neighbor sometimes, though. We love all of our neighbors, you know, but the guy knew the law. It's just hard to keep it. There was a businessman one time, a ruthless businessman, not a nice fellow at all. He went to his pastor and he said, before I die, I'm going to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And I am going to climb up to the top of Mount Sinai. And when I get there, I'm going to read the Ten Commandments out loud. And his pastor said to him, I've got a better idea. Why don't you just stay here in town and keep them? A pastor friend of mine was telling me about a trustee meeting in his church, a United Methodist church in this conference. And the church was in a neighborhood that had been changing. And there were different people living in the neighborhood than once lived there. And this discussion was about opening up the church during the week to the Hispanic children in the neighborhood and teaching English classes there. And the discussion began about schedules. How would we work our schedule around this? How would we make those rooms available? How would that be? And then, I'll never forget this, my friend told me there was a person on the trustees that finally said, I don't want those people in my church. The thing that some people want to do is they want to limit the requirements that God has placed on us to love and show mercy and be understanding when people are in distress or in need. This legal expert said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And there's folks who want to limit who the neighbors are. We want to reach out in our church, but we want to pick and choose who we reach out to. We want to reach out on our own terms. And we want to define who can come in and who can't come in. We want to limit the requirements that God has placed on us. Because the truth is, reaching out to those in need is going to cost us. It's going to cost us time and money and scheduling and sometimes calluses on our hands and sometimes sore backs. It's going to cost us. But Jesus says what we gain will be immeasurable. You watch something on TV and you laugh at it long enough and you begin to take on those characteristics. I hope that the writers of Seinfeld were saying, please don't imitate what you see in this show. It's just TV. But sometimes I worry that the damage has already been done. The Apostle Paul wrote, bad company corrupts good morals. Or somebody once said, you can't run with dogs and not catch fleas. That societies tend to take on this kind of national consciousness and we begin to collectively identify with what we see on TV. My hope and my prayer is that we're not this Seinfeld society where we become so self-absorbed and make fun of those who are different and ignore those who are in need. When the policeman comes to arrest Jerry and his friends, Elaine pleads with him and says, we didn't do anything. But you know, that's not really a plea, that's an indictment. And the policeman says, that's exactly right. The law requires you to help or assist anyone in danger as long as it's reasonable. In the scripture today, the lawyer knew that. Any Jew with any smattering knowledge of the Torah would have known, love God, love your neighbor. We disciples, with even just the smallest amount of knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, know that we love God and love our neighbor. And the thing is, there are no requirements to limit the law of love. Love is an unlimited gift. Several years ago, I was helping with a funeral, and the man who had passed away had been a longtime friend of Dan Rather. Do y'all remember Dan Rather, TV reporter? They had gone to junior high together and high school together, and they had gone off to college together and were college roommates, and then their paths kind of went different directions, but they remained friends for all those years. And so Dan's family asked, or the family of the man who passed away asked, if Dan would come and speak at the funeral, and he came and spoke, and he told a story about being invited to come and speak at an event in Florida. It was at a big fancy hotel, and Dan Rather said his flight arrived late the night before he was supposed to speak, and by the time he got to the hotel, it was late in the night, and he had trouble sleeping that night, and he had to get up early and go and speak to thousands of people. And he says, I got up in the morning and I was in a bad mood, and it was just not a good day already. And he said, I got in the elevator, and the elevator was full of people, and it began going down. And he said, I felt like every eye in the elevator was on me. And he said, I was thinking to myself, didn't any of these people's mothers teach them that it's rude to stare? And it seemed like slow going down. And when the elevator finally got to the bottom floor and the doors opened up, everyone began to file off of the elevator, and Dan Rather said there was one little old lady left on the elevator, and he said she tugged on my sleeve, and she said, I don't mean to intrude. And Mr. Rather said, he thought to himself, well, then why are you? And she said, I don't want this to be embarrassing, but your fly is unzipped and your shirt tail is sticking out the hole. And then she walked on off the elevator and went on her way. You know, it's not hard to stop and be sensitive. It's who we're called to be as followers of Jesus Christ. Love God, love our neighbor. But we've gotten into this place where we say, well, that person's really not my neighbor. They're from another city, or they're a different race, or somebody else will come along and stop by and help out. But Jesus says, it doesn't make any difference who they are. A person is a person, no matter how small. If you and I, if we're people within who the love of God dwells in, then we are to respond with compassion to everyone we pass on the road of life. Here's the thing. Having the right answers doesn't mean that we know God. I mean, if you look at the scripture, when the legal expert, when he answered the question, he knew the answer to the question, and Jesus doesn't say, that's an excellent answer, you're the best student ever, you know all that you need to know. Jesus says, go and do likewise. That young legal expert said, "How can I love my neighbor if I don't know who my neighbor is?" And Jesus says, it's not who your neighbor is, it's who you are. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.